get right into it.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I mean, they're going to know it's Mike.
No one knows who we are.
They could read a fucking YouTube description.
No one reads the descriptions.
Everybody reads Nobody reads the descriptions. Sociopaths don't read descriptions.
Well, I thought, to me, it's the other way around.
I'm not telling you who I am. Because it doesn't matter.
Stay mysterious.
All right. We're hitting the record button because we're a week away from Hard Knocks.
Are you psyched?
I cannot contain my excitement.
Is that why you have an erection? Is that just because... you came in here with that. I don't know if that was me or Hard Knocks.
How did that get there? That's my roll of pennies.
I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you how that stuff happens, all right? So we're here to talk about Hard Knocks, like a little mini preview episode or whatever. I don't know how long this is going to be, but I'm putting the word mini out there just in case it's short, like most of my relationships.
You're just kind of underselling it.
Absolutely.
It's not that big.
This is, again, you know, this is how I approach women. I just undersell because the only way to go is up. So...
And that's kind of like the perfect tagline for this Raiders season, right? Mm. Is that we kind of hit rock bottom, you know, traded away a superstar player and then had a really bad year, and it was year one of a pretty big rebuild, and now I think I saw we added like 21 players in free agency this offseason. We had a monumental draft, 3 first round picks. Every single Raider fan is excited about the possibility.
It's like that Aladdin song was written for this Raiders team, A Whole New World.
I don't know. How does that one go? You just want to see it?
No, I was going to. don't stop me.
So I think that the rational portion of every Raider fan's brain...
I don't have one of those, but continue.
Well, yeah, it's smaller than most people's rational portion of the brain. You're a Raider fan, after all. Mm-hmm.
Also science.
Yeah, this is all very true. Mm-hmm. But the rational portion of all of our brains are, it's going to be a difficult season. We have the most difficult schedule in the league. Mm. And we were 6 win team last year?
We were 4.
Four win team. Yeah, I mean,
It gets a little hazy after a while. After you just like you shove it, you try to repress it.
I was blacked out after the third quarter of most of the games.
I don't know what happened most of the season.
Yeah, because you know I wasn't staying conscious for that. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at the roster now coming into training camp and what we were a year ago, this is a completely different team. We can't really judge it too much by last year's standard anymore because half the roster is different.
Oh, this is year two of the rebuild.
It's really year one. Last year was year zero. It was ground zero. You just stripped everything down.
If you want to call it year zero, I can agree with that.
It's like the garage sale when you buy a house, and like the old lady, you know, before you had like a bunch of china, you know, in the basement, and you want to pay to recarpet the place. You just sell all the shit.
You don't know what's on that carpet. You definitely want to get new carpet.
A lot of cat piss, probably.
Probably a lot of cat piss.
And that's exactly what was on the carpets last year.
Years of cat piss. Like 15 years of cat piss were on those carpets. So it's time to like fucking just level the house. Build a new house over it, and hopefully this one has a good defensive line or offensive line, you know, as the foundations, and then the quarterback is like the refrigerator.
All right, the analogy is getting old. The analogy is getting old. Point is, last year was year zero. This year feels like year one. Yes or no?
Yes, but it's still a transition year. I don't think it's about this year. It's about next year, right? This is year zero. You're wiping the slate clean. This year, you're adding pieces. You're getting talent. You know, it's complicated, right? Because there's a lot yet to be determined. Like, this is, I think we can both agree, this is a make or break year for Derek. So, you know, there's still variables depending on how things go. But this is the first, if you want to wipe the slate clean last year, get rid of most of the players on the roster, acquire new talent, new assets this year, to where I think it's about next year, where next year is when you start thinking about competing. And I realized,
pending Derek Carr's performance this year.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It can go either way. I mean, you're either looking for a new quarterback next year, maybe one of the rookies, or maybe Derek does fantastic. And it's like, shit, we can make it maybe second, third round of the playoffs next season.
And the reason why Derek Carr's performance is so pivotal, and I think it plays into that us talking about how the, you know, 21 new players in free agency this year, is that the most of Raider Nation would agree that there are no excuses for Derek Carr this year because he now has Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
He's got Tyrell Williams, who is going to be their, you know, Mayock came out and said the other day he was their number one wide receiver getting free agency. And then, and they.
It's like our fantasy. You got your 1A and you got your 1B.
Yeah. Yeah. Really.
And you got your 1AB because Antonio Brown.
Shut up. And so you have those two guys. You have a running back in the first round. Not many quarterbacks get the luxury of a first round running back.
Hopefully a guy as talented as Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Or I should say as versatile as Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. A guy that will pass protect for you and catch the ball.
Mm-hmm. Good route runner.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about him, check out our video on Josh Jacobs.
We have a YouTube page, which you're probably listening to this on right now, if you've made it this far into the episode.
If for like the two of you that didn't press pause and say, I'm deleting this shit from my phone forever. So then, you know, Trent Brown's another guy, whether you think he's worth the contract or not, he was the best offensive lineman available in free agency.
Yeah.
Maybe we probably overpaid for him.
I think you have to, though. If you want to get a guy that good, you have to overpay for talent. Yeah.
But if it's one of those situations where Derek Carr is making $25 million this year, $1 million more than Drew Brees.
And he's not a big cap hit next year.
Yeah. So you're talking about you're paying a guy top 10 money this year, you know, maybe top 5 money, and
gotta fucking perform like a top 5 guy.
Yeah, and if in a year's time you can cut him, you want to know before you have to make that decision, is this guy the guy or not? Is he the person who's going to get us a championship? In some ways, I don't mind that we kind of went for broke in that regard. You overpaid for Trent Brown. You moved for Antonio Brown. You got Tyrell Williams in free agency. You drafted a running back in the first round. These are all very risky moves.
You can't do anything else to help your quarterback out, though. This is all an investment in your quarterback.
Yeah, you cannot say that they didn't try. They went out and by all means of the imagination, added the best guys available on the market at two positions on offense for Derek Carr. So now it's a kind of like put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, as I've gotten closer to camp, I was originally pessimistic about our year because it's a really tough schedule, but
hardest schedule in the league.
Yeah,
not even just tough.
Yeah,
hardest.
Yeah. It's gonna be rough. I don't have grandeurs of a Super Bowl, but my quarterback's making $25 million this year. We added two top flight free agent wide receivers. We gave a big contract to Antonio Brown, a sizable contract to Tyrell Williams. We gave the biggest contract for offensive tackles in the history of the league to Trent Brown. And so for me, I can't go into this season expecting a bad season again. I can't tolerate it as a fan. Seeing what we did, Derek Carr has to give us a winning record this year.
So what do you – I'm not here to even blow smoke up anyone's asses. What do you think is like a realistic? What are you expecting numbers wise for Derek? Like just stats wise, like what would you be satisfied with?
I don't want to get into the numbers discussion, and the reason why is because if you go and
shut that idea down,
well,
try to make a contribution to the podcast.
Well,
totally.
So let me make a counterpoint, and then I'd love to hear your take on it. Don't you feel that if we go back to 2018 and we don't have the numbers in front of us right now, we could pull it up, but we're not professionals. This is a podcast. You're downloading it for free.
It's not like I have the internet in front of me, all right? Slow down.
Yeah. So if we pull up the numbers, Derek Carr didn't have a bad year by any means of the imagination when it comes to stats.
Yeah.
But if you watch the games, you can tell that there was something beyond the stats, beyond the production. You can't be a 4,000-yard quarterback in the league anymore and that just be your milestone. Derek Carr didn't win us games last year.
I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. You could probably also argue he didn't lose us many games. If you want to.
Very
you,
true.
If you want to.
Very good quarterback.
If you want to be real about it. That wasn't sarcastic, right? If you want to be real about it.
He threw, no interceptions.
If you want to be real about it, the defense probably lost most of the games. I'm not saying the offense is good. But, I mean, the defense was like, yo, come on, 13 sacks.
It comes down to the argument.
Reggie Nelson is your starting free safety or whatever.
Like, thank God, that's not the case anymore.
Jeez.
But what
he's
I think,
in the old folks home
I think it comes
now,
down to are you getting, are you getting what you're being are you getting what you're paying for with Derek Carr?
Well, if you want to look at it like that, like no, you're not.
Yeah,
if you're paying him like a top five guy and you're one of the top like or the lowest five ranked teams in the league, no, you're not. But the potential is there, the ability is there, and again, like to circle back, like. No excuses. Like, this is, you've given him, it's like you give your 16-year-old the keys to, a Lamborghini, and it's like, don't mess this up. But you've given him all the pieces he needs.
Derek Carr's had a few flat tires.
Yeah, literally, and then the car's been in the shed, pun intended. The car's been in.
Yeah, scratched the bumper on a pothole.
Yeah, the car's been in the shop for
the
a while.
The car's engine's still good,
mm-hmm.
and we might still be able to see it. Drive fast one day.
You lose your power steering every now and then, and I don't know. The car just goes crazy.
But I think that we're pretty much in agreement with. It's hard not to be somewhat optimistic because if Carr plays well with these weapons, I can't see how this isn't a good team. I think that we can still have issues on defense.
The defense is still.
We're going to get to defense, but. The talent around him, if Carr plays well, is possible of a top 10 offense. And if you have a top 10 offense, you're going to be competitive no matter what.
You know, I'm trying, I agree with you, but I'm trying to separate myself from the homerism. You know what I mean? Like, is this objectively a good offense? And I think it is. If Derek plays up to his potential, this is what you say, easy top 10 offense, right? You've got a rookie running back who's versatile. You've got two awesome receivers. A line who should be good. Tom Cable, don't fuck this up. But a line who should be good. Colton Miller is in shape. He put on weight. And from what we're hearing in training camp, he's doing awesome. He's knocking guys down. So, tight end we're a little weak on. We don't have Jared Cook anymore. But we still have,
We have three starting wide receivers now.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have Amari Cooper. We don't have Amari Cooper half of the year playing well, half the year playing bad, and then, whatever else out there.
If we get any,
thank God Seth Roberts is gone.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Pound
the table on that.
If we get any production out of the tight end position, that'll be a benefit. Rather than we're relying on this, it'll be the icing on the cake or whatever. But personally, I don't miss Amari Cooper at all. Goodbye. I don't miss him at all.
Bye, Felicia.
Have fun in fucking cows out in Texas.
Cows. Is that what they do there?
Yeah, everything.
I don't know.
Everything's bigger there.
I've never been to
cow
Texas.
Buttholes. That,
oh, wow.
We have any listeners in
so
Texas?
So they have bigger buttholes at cows in Texas?
And bigger, what do you call those things that you milk?
Oh. Udders?
Udders, there you go. I was thinking...
Big floppy udders?
Huge floppy udders.
All right. Well.
Sorry, tangent.
So anyway, big floppy udders is our segue to...
Defense.
We can't. Before we get to defense, we gotta talk about the big guy, Mr. Big Chest. Because we kind of glossed over him. We acknowledged him that we were probably in agreement that he's an elite wide receiver.
By elite, you mean probably top three. There's what, Odell, Julio, and then him?
I would say he's better than Julio.
Whoa. Ooh.
I would say that.
Ooh. I mean, you know, I think you're blessed if you have either one of them.
He's a bit more. He's a bit more consistent.
I mean, the dude has been nothing but consistent. Yeah,
Julio Jones is like one of those guys who he'll have like 200-yard games and then 40-yard games.
I mean, because he's not good in the red zone, because he's so fast in the red zone, his best ability is taken away. You know, not that Julio Jones.
Yeah, where Antonio Brown's a little bit more quick.
Yeah, he can probably cut a little better. Not that I'm a
you're also knocking down Julio Jones.
No, I mean, dude, we're splitting hairs at this point. You'd be happy to have either one of them, but
how do you feel about the hot air balloon coming into practice?
I fucking love the hot air balloon.
I do too. It made me giggle.
We were like talking about schoolgirl. It's funny, right? And it's funny on its own, but we were talking about this earlier. But dude, if you catch that many balls, you can come whatever fucking mode of transportation. I don't fucking care. You make touchdowns. You fucking catch fucking passes. Yeah. You can come on a fucking dolphin in the Tronic camp.
Before the episode, we were talking about Mike Mayock and one of the interviews he did about that. And I think it's a good thing that our coach and our GM is, you know, for the rest of the league, very transparently saying that we don't care what Antonio Brown does as long as he produces on the field.
I feel like the Steelers could be laughing at that, like, like you say that now, but you know it, but, you know.
Yeah, but if you go back to the pre-camp interviews with Mike Tomlin asking him, oh, you know, like he came in on a fucking elephant or whatever the fuck Antonio Brown came in into camp on. And Mike Tomlin's like, no comment, like, you know, like stone cold and like a hard ass. Like he, you know, he's
so saying we have a better culture than that Steelers locker room.
Well, we absolutely have a better culture. I think that's one of the reasons for optimism going into this year, because we have a lot of things stacked against us. But if you listen to the way people feel about each other so far and how they feel about the coaches, I would say we have a great culture brewing right now. I think we have the beginnings of hopefully something great, just in terms of general work ethic and people enjoying being
like
at their job,
like an identity, you know, as like a team. Yeah,
and that's why I am completely fine with the hot air balloon, because, you know, Antonio Brown put his pads on for the first time today. And he only came onto practice and made everybody else look like amateurs before being like, oh, yeah, I'm done practice. Now I'm going
to
walk away.
He doesn't need to practice.
Yeah, he doesn't need to practice. But this dude wants to be here in camp. You know, like it's weird being a player that is so good that you can step on the field for half as much practice as everybody else, make them all look like amateurs, and then and then like get off the field because you don't need to get better anymore. You don't want to hurt yourself.
Yeah, that's about your health at that point.
Yeah, but this guy wants to be here. Anyone,
dude, he's a grinder. He's a grinder.
And if you look at that video of him, you know, sitting there up in the hot air balloon with the beautiful Napa Valley looking over him, you know, he didn't. You know, he did that because, I mean, that, you know, he's excited about that day. He's excited about the opening of training camp, and he's expressing it in a beautiful, kind of a beautiful way. Like, look at the Napa Valley, look at Oakland, look at where, you know, look at the area that I'm representing. And then he drops down onto the practice field and he fucking makes
like
everybody
like a god.
Yeah.
Like, he's like,
yeah, dude. I mean, like you want to, if people want to take it like an arrogant, like, look at me type of way, you can do that. But why would you just want to knock people down and assume the worst of them? I view it as a guy who loves his job so fucking much, he commuted to the first day of work.
I wish I could commute to my job in an air balloon.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, this is the first day of work and I got to go in and I got to be on my A game. So I'm going to make sure that even my commute is not fucking with my ability to work. You know, I'm going to commute to work and be completely zen like and relaxed and like air balloon down like a fucking
angel.
You're getting way too deep
for me.
But, no, I'm just saying, like, it's I'm used to my 9-to-5 grind. I'm used to like peeling myself out of bed every single fucking morning and getting in my car putting on light FM because I have a headache from my hangover. And
feeling when your boxers are like, you know, the sweat has like glued them onto you.
And I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That's never happened to me.
It takes some effort.
But you know, like I didn't enjoy my commute that much this morning. And when I see him doing that, I see a guy who's excited and happy about what he's doing. And he's elite.
I mean, listen, this is also coming from a 9-to-5 guy. He's rich. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. So good for him. So I get where the hate comes, but like, I thought
he loves his job and he's got a vested interest. He's got a great vested interest.
Catch touchdowns for me this year, and I don't care what you write in.
He's going to catch
you
a lot.
You could write in on my fucking...
Your mom?
Yeah, I was going to make a weird joke. I was going to say my mom. I don't care. Catch touchdown passes. Well,
let's skip over to the defense now before we get stuck in the mud. But I believe that Antonio Brown's an angel sent down from heaven.
Right.
And he's going to be the best thing that happened to the Oakland Raiders this year.
Well, I mean, he's the most talented player on the team, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's instantly. I mean, can you imagine our tops? Let me. No offense.
Gonna get an AB tattoo.
No offense. No, I'm not. Maybe I am.
Quitter.
Depends on how drunk I get. But last year, the premier skilled players on our team were Amari Cooper and Marshawn Lynch.
That's an upgrade.
This is such a massive upgrade.
Huge upgrade, dude. It's a completely different roster, but defense. Let's move on to defense.
So defense was arguably where we were suffered the most last year, right?
Oh, historically bad numbers and all that. I watched that 49er game.
Don't remind me of Nick Mullins, man. Sorry. Don't say that word again. Don't do that to me.
I won't let you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Some shit. the defense got better though. Let's talk about
You can't get much worse.
No, you can't. That's But let's exercise the evil. Let's throw out some names. LaMarcus Joyner. Love it. Brandon Marshall.
But by the way, did you see today? Pat at practice, LaMarcus Joyner was the only guy able to stick with Antonio Brown in coverage.
Interesting, huh?
Yep.
If you can stick with Antonio. There's not many you can't stick with, you know?
Antonio Brown got touchdowns off of Garyon Conley and Trayvon Mullen, and there was one play where LaMarcus Joyner was on him, and LaMarcus Joyner was with him hip to hip and knocked down the pass.
Nice. Well, that guy is...
I'm skeptical of him, I'm happy about that.
I trust him. That's like a vet, like know what they're doing, signing. You know what I mean? That I'm confident in. But that's a guy too who's so versatile.
Big money to a nickel corner.
But he's versatile.
Because that's what he's going to be.
You could move him around though.
He is.
If you wanted to.
He is. But I just, it's
like
LaMarcus Joyner hasn't been a world beater. That's my thing. He's had some really good seasons.
You don't need a world beater on this defense. You need guys who can play right now. You know what I mean?
And he can't. Okay, I get it. We did pay him a lot of money. So you would like him to be a world beater.
He's on a 2-year deal, right?
Well, I think most of our free agents aren't. The money is not through 2 years. You can move on.
I love. I love Mike Mayock. Big Cock Mayock.
I love Mike Mayock.
Big Cock Mayock. But I think signing most of these guys for 2 years is a good move. But, you know,
Mayock's going to be the savior of this organization.
The Jesus.
We were all stoked about John Gruden. Mayock is going to be one of the single best additions in this franchise.
He may have been the biggest pickup of the offseason in general. Because Gruden needs a guy in the room who's like, whoa, John, let's pump the brakes. No, let's be smart. And I think Mayock's one of those guys who's you bring in an analytical mind, someone who's not afraid to say no to Gruden, and I think that's what he needs. And so far, again, you know, they haven't played a game yet, so we'll see. But so far, they seem like they're a cool yin yang kind of fire and ice kind of duo.
It may be a relationship that would have never have worked without anyone else besides Mayock because they're such good friends. You could tell that they're very good friends, and they've and all the stories about them is that, you know, every year they spend their summers together watching tape and stuff like that. So I don't think that Gruden would have had that yin and yang thing with another guy. This seems like a perfect match.
Gruden had complete control of the team. Bill Belichickian control of the team before Mac was hired. So,
well, it's because he didn't hire anybody in the building, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was his first year, but or other than like probably some positional coaches, but Gruden got a guy more so than probably getting along, but that he respected, and that's the thing that's going to make them gel is the respect, rather than, you know, getting along. It's going to be the like, I see your opinion or your thoughts and where you're coming from, and I'm going to give some weight to what you're thinking. You
and
know?
Being right will go a long way to gaining respect.
Yeah, like that's for sure.
So we still have to see the fruits of Mike Mayock so far.
But
I will say this.
As a GM, you did all you could do.
Well, yeah. My take on Mayock so far is that going from a dying Al Davis to Reggie McKenzie was a massive step up, and it felt like a massive improvement of what I was used to seeing.
Yeah.
And now I realize that Reggie McKenzie was probably like an average GM, and he seemed a lot better in my eyes because I went so long without seeing a competent manager.
Your standard was a lot lower being
exactly,
a Raider fan.
Exactly. Yeah. And now that Mayock's in the building, I'm like, holy shit, there's another level up we can go.
The Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr kind of jump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Mark Jackson didn't seem that
like a good coach to like, okay, here's a coach who can take me over the top, or, you know, or a personnel director or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So
over the hump.
I think Mayock's that. And moving on to the rest of the defensive rebuild, it begins with those fucking picks, man.
It was a huge year. One of the biggest years in Raiders draft history, probably. Because this is erasing the last...
Never had this many picks in the first round.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is also like, you know, you've got to erase this ugly, whatever it is, like 15, 17-year history of just complete incompetence. And rebrand this team as we move into Vegas, and, you know, and this, you know, we're in a weird time now, because we had success 2 years ago, but then, like, you just traded away your best player, so there's, like, lots of weird ups and downs and a lot of confusion.
I think last year kind of, like, turned the page on it almost, though.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mind
adding so many players.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mind giving away, like, I know we've talked about this again. We don't need to rehash it. But, like, that's why I didn't mind the Khalil Mack trade or getting rid of Cooper.
I mind the Khalil Mack trade.
I know you do, but...
You get over it. It's time to move on. As someone who, like, Khalil Mack is still my favorite NFL player in the league. I saw him build his career as a Raider. And I have, like, a deep affection and love for his game. It's just time to move on now.
Yeah.
And we've... Cleveland Farrell looks like a solid pick. He was a little bit of a reach in some regards.
But solid, not sexy, right?
Exactly. But Mayock has consistently made decisions this offseason where I listened to what he had to say about them, and if you're not a guy who thinks who's cocky and arrogant enough to the point that you think that you are good enough to be a general manager, spoiler alert, you're not, you can come around on what he saw in these players. It's not beyond reproach to me. I think that I was wrong about Cleveland Farrell. I think that my initial inclination was that he was a good player, not a great player. And looking back on it now, I think that everyone's good players in the in the first round of the draft. No one's great players, and you got to build that guy into a great player. And so far, from what we're hearing in camp, the rookies are taking to whatever the fuck they're building out there. The way they're teaching them, all of the defensive veterans that we brought in this year are talking about how these rookies are unlike any other rookie that they've ever come across. I mean, did you hear anything like about Vontaze Burfict or Brandon Marshall? Just the praise from them. I've never seen veterans praise rookies like this before.
So, I mean, I always take that shit. I always take all of this preseason training camp shit with a grain of salt. This is all, you know, what are they going to go in there and say? Oh, these guys are not performing well. I agree, not to cut them down anyway. I'm just saying that, like, I always take that shit with a grain of salt. Let's see on game day how they perform. But, you know, I also buy into everyone, you know, I remember you and me in draft night. We were like, what the fuck? We went to Clayton Farrell. We were both, like, upset because Josh Allen was there and everything that we read, everything that, like, fans read, it was like, you know, there were these fucking bona fide first five picks and then we went outside the narrative. But I also buy into the notion that, like, you know, Mayock probably had some stock in the media and we probably would have heard more of Farrell, you know, in the media had he still been a part of the media. So he seems like, he seems like a solid, not sexy pick. Let's see how he performs. But I gotta say, I love what I'm seeing from Abrams. I'm super excited. Dude, maybe out of the three first round
picks. I might need
picks,
to get his jersey.
24, yeah.
How can you not root for that guy? He works so fucking hard.
He's out there on the, you know, on the practice field after practice, is still fucking working. And
I knew that he was going to be a keeper when we drafted him and they came to the rookie camp. And first day of rookie camp, you go on Jonathan Abrams' Instagram page, and on his story, he's in there, the butt ass crack of fucking dawn. All right,
it's been so hot.
Yeah, like the weight room is completely empty, and he comes up on John Gruden, the only other person in the fucking weight room at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning.
John Gruden. Was hilarious.
And John Gruden's sitting there pumping iron, and Abrams like, "That's my coach." At 5 a.m. in the fucking morning, when John Gruden opens the place. I don't know when he opens the place.
What did Gruden say that he needed to like get a different hotel room because Abrams was just talking to him too much about football or whatever?
Yeah.
If you can out fucking talk Gruden to the point where he's getting tired about football, it's like, dude, we gotta. And everything we hear about him, he's an alpha fuck. He's just a fucking alpha dog, and he's at the field. You know, he's practicing, training later than everyone else. His mind is always on football. He's someone to get it. I'm more excited about him.
It's hard not to buy into those pre-draft, those preseason hype machines. But
Vontaze Burfict. Smart player, very smart player.
Said these two things, and I want to talk about Vontaze Burfict. You need to talk about Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
Every Raider fan,
huge pickup.
Every Raider fan on defense, fuck all these rookies, fuck everybody else on the team. You got to be looking at Vontaze Burfict first. But two things Vontaze Burfict said about Jonathan Abrams. He reminds him of himself. Well, Vontaze Burfict is a very good Pro Bowl player. And he is always the guy with the green dot.
The one knock against him his whole career has always been the emotional part of his game, right? No one's going to forget that time he fucked the Bengals out of a playoff win, right? But he's a good player.
But you know what?
We can't take that away from him.
You want those guys on your team. I'm sorry, but they didn't get rid of Vontaze Burfict because of that stuff. They got rid of him because he's a linebacker. They're not that valuable, and he got injured. But
he's a little older. What is he?
He's only 28.
28. All right.
Middle linebackers can play until their mid 30s. I'm telling you right now, Vontaze Burfict is going to have a top five linebacker year for the Raiders this year, and he's going to get a contract with us, and we're going to have him for another 4 years. Pay attention to Vontaze Burfict.
Is he on a 1 year deal?
We should probably know this, but I'm telling you right now, Vontaze Burfict is going to be a fixture for this team. If he plays, I think that he's going to play really well this year. And if he does play well, I can promise you he's going to be a foundational piece for us.
If he is, that means I don't know about foundational.
No, he.
I like his presence on the team.
Yeah, come on. Those inside linebackers, those thumper dudes, man, they could play till they're 35. They're not going to be there in the play on third down, but they're going to be the heart and soul of your locker
room. He at least has the brain. So when he loses the ability, he'll still have the brain. And, you know, not that he still has the ability now.
And he's a coach. He's a coach on the field.
He probably will be a coach one day. And he's your defensive quarterback that we picked up this year that we didn't have last year, I think. That we were lacking in that linebacker core.
And to couple off that leadership point, just to close up on the Jonathan Abrams thing, the second thing that he said about Jonathan Abrams, which really gets my dick stiff, he said that in practice he has to like grab onto Abrams and hold him up and tell him like you can't be hit, you gotta lay up a little bit.
Didn't he say he hit like coaches or some shit, like he ran into some coaches or something?
I don't think he did that. But if you're a Raider fan, if there's silver in your blood, a little bit of extracurricular physicalness after the whistle.
Oh yeah,
riles you up all the time.
That's always been a part of the Raider DNA. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it sucks when you're getting the flags when you're bad, but if you're a good team and you get those flags, it's
called attitude. Yeah,
because you know what? We're still gonna beat your ass and we're gonna spot you 15. Yeah, we're gonna spot you 15. We're still gonna fucking knock you down.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know. I think that Vontaze being there and being a smart guy.
You think this is a little bit of a Raiders throwback sort of mentality that we're bringing back? Well, Gruden brings this Raiders, like, you're a fucking dude. Not to tangent or whatever, or break you from your point. But you heard that, which is probably going to be in Hard Knocks, that Gruden speech where, like, it's not about dreams, it's about nightmares. We're here to destroy dreams. We're here to crush the dreams of people wanting to be in this league. But that is, like... Oh, this man understands what it means to be a fucking Raider.
Yeah, you don't win games being a nice guy.
No, absolutely. All right,
that's why no one. That's not why no one roots for Tom Brady.
Yeah, because he's a douchebag.
Yeah. He's the one guy who
Pretty Boy Tom.
Yeah, Pretty Boy Tom that wins games. Mm-hmm. No one likes that. We like Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning looks like he eats hot dogs.
I want to see fucking scars on your face. Yeah, you know, like bleeding from your fucking face.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers looks like a goofy fucking elf.
He looks like
he looks like fucking Legolas.
Yeah,
but you know Tom Brady's sitting there. Do you see he came into training camp with a turtleneck? Did you see that?
What a fag.
It's only like 110 fucking degrees out. Yeah. You know, the humidity.
But you know, he looks really great in that turtleneck.
He's wearing a black turtleneck job style with a pico over it.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But I think that Vontaze is going to be. He's going to be a leader in our locker room, and I think that he's going to set the tone for a lot of guys for many years to come. I got chills even listening to that first post-practice interview with Brandon Marshall.
Mm.
And I'm not hitting the Kool-Aid that hard. I'm not trying to say that Brandon Marshall's going to be like a fucking world beater, going to be the best linebacker in the league. But Brandon Marshall's a Super Bowl winner. He has been in the league for a while. He knows what it takes to succeed. And in his post-practice interview, he's talking about coming to the Raiders, and they're teaching him new things about taking care of his body and being a professional that he's never been taught before. You know, he's had some injury issues, and he's working through that now and putting a lot of his free time and effort into being the healthiest, best-prepared player that he could possibly be. That shit. Like, when guys come to the Raiders and they've succeeded elsewhere and they're like, holy shit, like, you know, they're leaving no stone unturned. That gets me riled up because I think that Brandon Marshall might be the best Brandon Marshall he's ever been on the Oakland Raiders. Like, we might be giving him a preparedness and something. The player's already there. We might just help him take that his game to the next level, stay healthy a little bit, put him in the best position. He's playing the same position this year for us that he did as a rookie when he was the best he's ever been in his career, you know?
I think he's always been a good tackler. The one thing, though, that I took from his press conference when I watched was his high praise for the rookies. And I also took his, I can't wait to get back in my old team kind of thing, which, like, it got me a little hard. Not going to lie.
Anything to get back at the Broncos.
Absolutely. Yeah, fuck them.
I mean, it's like PR 101. You join a new team.
Yeah, it's all about settling a score, you know, for your old team.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, he saw Gruden hop on the Raiders, he thought to himself, man, yeah, I definitely want to go play for the Raiders. You know, he knew.
Yeah, this is the team he wanted to play
with. He said the rivalry aspect, he never really disliked the Raiders. He just kind of did what he had to do to fit into the locker room.
Yeah, you say that. But, you know, I don't know what, you know,
yeah, reality but you know what? I'm a battered wife. Mm. I'm willing to take any roses and dates to Applebee's that I can get.
You know, you don't know him like I know him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's different. He'll love me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
you don't know him like I know him.
And then, I don't know. I don't think there's too many other guys we got to, like, must-have guys to hit up on defense before we...
I'm still a fan of Carl Joseph. Whether they re-sign him or not, you know, I would have... He's kind of always been a favorite of mine, so I... More of an emotional thing to say, probably, like, where I would have liked to see them resign him again. But
he's going to have an opportunity to step it up in the last year of his
contract. It's a contract year, so hopefully he performs, you know, well. And I'm excited to see between him and Abrams what that new, you know, those new safeties are able to do. And I think the secondary...
They're very similar players, too. Like I fancy myself a scout, you know, even though I'm a piece of shit and I don't actually know what I'm talking about. And one of my pro comparisons for Abrams was Carl Joseph, and I know that might scare a lot of people, but we also drafted Jonathan Abrams like 10 picks before Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we got a steal in that selection, and we also got a rookie who hasn't reached his ceiling yet. What will we see from Joseph in his last year? I don't know. But he's got a hell of a lot of motivation
right now. He's got the motivation. He's got the talent.
And the opportunity. He earned himself the starting position last year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now he's not going into camp this time around, you know, behind the eight ball, having to gain.
He sat out a lot last year.
Yeah, yeah. He had to gain the trust of Gruden and Pauly G. But once he got their trust, I mean, he started and he played.
Pauly G, that sounds like a Jersey Shore.
Sorry. Pauly G, it's Pauly G. Look at him and tell me he's not a Pauly G. Tell me he's not Pauly G. I could see him
walking that Jersey Shore boardwalk with a hot dog in his mouth.
He looks like he belongs in an episode of Sopranos.
Yeah, yeah,
right? Yeah. That guy eats a lot of spaghetti.
He loves spaghetti.
Yeah. But besides that, so what... What are your key things that you're looking forward to in training camp, Hard Knocks? What are you excited about this year the most?
Man,
I've got choose one on offense, one on defense, and then I'll hit you with mine.
Just like things I'm excited about.
Yeah, just pick one thing out that you're looking for.
It's hard to say. I mean, like, honestly, I'm excited just about in general all the new talent that we signed. If I'm looking to specific players, I want to see what Tyrell Williams is going to do. I'm really excited about him because he, I think, could be a number one receiver on a worse team, or, you know, not like a great team, but he's got AB across the field for him, so I think he has the opportunity to produce, and I think he's got the talent. From what we've seen in training camp, him and DC have a connection. And on defense, it's Carl Joseph. I'm looking to see how he performs. Like, listen, the pass rush is super important. This is more of an emotional pick for me because, you know, let's see how Cleveland Farrell does. If we can get, you know, a decent amount of sacks this year, I don't know. Arden Key coming in on third down is probably a little bit more suited, better suited to that role. But I'm still looking at Carl Joseph because he's just like a favorite of mine. So I want to see him perform, and I want to see going into a contract season, I want to see him have the best season of his, you know, his short career so far. So those are the two players, though, that I'm excited to see how they perform this year, and I'll be, like, paying attention to, especially.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully we can see some of those storylines develop because we have a unprecedented opportunity for Raider fans being able to actually watch training camp this year. I mean...
You mean to not, like, throw up in the middle of it or whatever?
I've always been a fan of training camp outside of the injuries. I mean, Chaz Chillins comes to mind. You know, Glass Chillins, that wide receiver is going to be our wide receiver number one for years. He just kept getting fucking injuries in training camp every year.
I do want to... Well, finish your point, then
So my guys on offense, you know... Obviously, we've talked about a lot of players that we have higher expectations for. They're going to be bigger impact players, Derek Carr, Antonio Brown, blah, blah, blah. I'm most excited in training camp about the competition spots, the spots that are kind of up for grabs. And after being a fucking doomsday chicken little about Seth Roberts being our slot receiver for years.
Yeah. Suffering through that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get why in 2016 people liked him, but if you just look at his numbers throughout his career for a guy who played in the snaps that he played, he was not, like, just compare him to other slot receivers, he was never good.
Throwing this out there, I'm excited for Hunter Renfro taking over that.
Yeah. So that's kind of part of my interest. I'm not interested in a single player. I'm interested in who comes out of that slot receiver spot. If I had to say a single player, since you did, I would say Marcel Aitman, because I think that he'll
make the team. You think, right?
I think so. I think that he's gonna make the team. There's not gonna be a starting slot receiver for us this year. I think that Hunter Renfro...
Committee-based, sort of, are you thinking?
Kind of.
Situationally?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm really hoping that we see those guys really carve out niches for themselves, because we have a lot of different diverse talent at the third wide receiver position in a team that
J.J. Nelson.
Yeah, we lost our star tight end last year. And so I would love us to go into a three wide receiver set in the end zone with Marcel Aitman as our slot receiver.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. J.J. Nelson between the 20s is going to be able to stretch the field.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Hunter Renfro on those, like, crucial third and eights.
Yeah.
I see...
Running those four wide receivers, you know, those kind of, like, packages.
Yeah.
I think Jared Cook, honestly, last year was our number one option out of necessity. So I don't know if we'll even... Again, like I said earlier in the episode, I don't think we'll miss the tight end position as much. It'll be like, if we get production from there, it'll be like, you know, this is a legit offense. Like, it's scary because we're getting production from the, you know, one of our weakest offensive positions.
No, I definitely agree on that. And I don't think that the loss of Jared Cook is going to be felt even remotely.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of that slot receiver competition.
Yeah,
I'm super excited about seeing those guys.
The short field options
bring out the best in this team.
Yeah,
and definitely Antonio Brown softens the blow of losing Jared Cook.
Yeah,
Jared Cook was our leading wide receiver. Yeah. Antonio Brown is like he's two different levels.
Absolutely. I mean, you got the guys who can stretch the field, but you've also probably got guys who can run like crossing routes and shit like that.
Yeah. On defense, the one position that I'm probably looking at the most is probably the interior defensive line again.
Okay, yeah.
I think that Mohurst was promising in year one. I liked parts of what I saw about PJ Hall. I'm a PJ Hall truther.
Right.
I am.
Truth. So I don't know if truther means like you're too... Like, you're too high on him?
Well, no, meaning like P.J. Hall was a second-round pick. Mohurst was a fourth-round pick?
Yeah.
And Mohurst had probably the better year rookie season.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But I think that P.J. Hall, I mean, he's got some fucking skills. And he also, there was a couple of points in time last year where I thought that he was creating sacks for Hurst. He didn't quite get there, but he was really blowing up some of his assignments right as the ball was snapped.
No, I think you're right, but I mean PJ Hall to me is like kind of like profiles as a guy who's going to be in the future more of like an elite run stopper than he is like a sack machine, right? So never look to him for like the sacks, more of like blowing up the interior of that line.
He really is a pass rusher though. He may never get the sacks, but also defensive tackles. It's rare for those Aaron Donalds to exist.
Is he big enough to, like, I don't know, get there?
Yeah, I mean he's actually more of a finesse type. He's a heavy guy too.
He's not
that skinny. But
he's a big dude. I mean,
I'm telling you, PJ Hall is definitely quick enough to get to the quarterback. I'm not saying that he's necessarily going to get there. What I'm saying is that the combination of Mohurst and PJ Hall can be terrifying.
Well, it's
I think
the foundation of the line for, you know, for future.
Yeah,
for
the future. I think that Hall can definitely play the run better than Hurst can. Hurst is a little bit better at finishing than him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that PJ Hall is still a great pass rusher, and you want both of your tight ends. You want both of your defensive tackles to be able to affect the play.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what, and so I mean, Vince Wilfork was an All Pro nose tackle, and he still just blew up the play on pass rushing plays. Sometimes he never got those sacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's like, you know, 5,000 pounds and he couldn't get there.
Yeah.
But he would fuck shit up, and so those two guys. Justin Ellis is healthy again. I think that we're probably going to move on from him in the long term.
Yeah.
But at least we have him for this year, and I think that he, considering the depth that we have at defensive tackle, it's great to have a guy like Justin Ellis, who can come in specific situations and, mm-hmm. and just dominate.
Yeah,
because he's a great run blocker, and I'm a humongous fan of Jonathan Hankins. He came in as a free agent last year when we were shit, and he was one of the best players on our defense on a really bad defense. He was, but. I'm not trying to say that he's going to be amazing.
We're hoping for average.
He's a consummate professional, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's a guy who came in on a bad team.
Just like a workhorse. Like
yeah, and he just did what he had to do. And when you have guys like that spelling your young hot rod, you know, prospects.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
you need that little bit of balance.
Yeah, the pressure, the load is not on those young guys all the time. And so for me, Justin Ellis and Jonathan Hankins spelling those two guys, I think that Cleland Farrell, Arden Key, all those dudes, they don't even necessarily have to be that great this year. We're going to see a massive step forward in the defense just from the development of that position group alone. And that's why they're on defense. They're my number one watch going into camp.
I mean, my one thing is, like, I think this, I'm a little bit more, skeptical about the line than you are. I still don't think we have that pass rush. The secondary got better, but you know, the secondary. I mean, I think the pass rush is so, and that line, you know, is so important to the secondary because obviously you're given, you know, the secondary. You know, they had to, like, you know, if the quarterback's forever,
you can't cover them. Yeah, you can't cover them forever.
So that pass rush needs to be there, and that's what I'm a little bit skeptical about. We have better athletes in the secondary. The pass rush, I still don't know. So what do those additions in the secondary mean at the end of the day? I don't know. I don't know how effective it's going to be.
It's almost a new defense.
It is a new defense.
If you're being honest with it.
It is a new defense.
What is it? Conley, Joseph, and Worley?
Yeah.
And in the back end, and then in the front end, Moe and Hall, who were rookies last year.
Yeah, and you got Farrell, so, Arden Key coming in, third downs. Max Crosby, who I'm actually really interested to see how he does.
A lot of good things being said about him.
Yeah, so I mean, you gotta expect some roughness as a rookie, some rawness. So who knows how he's going to do.
If he can contribute even a couple of sacks, that's all you can ask for.
Three sacks, I think you're satisfied with that.
Yeah. Everyone has to temper their expectations. Not everybody can be an all-star.
He was our third round pick, right?
Fourth.
So yeah, if you get that production, then you're fine. But so I'm still don't think if there's one area the entire team in general could have shored up a little bit better or gotten a little bit, you know, if I wanted to see some more additions on it, was the pass rush, which was our biggest need coming into the season.
But we added a lot of young prospects.
You just like yodeled that. Sorry.
We added a lot of young prospects.
Yeah,
there's going to be some learning on the job.
There's, you know, some young guys, and that's a good thing, right? So the rawness that's fine for this season. Again, that's why I think it's about next season. You just want to see improvements, and you want to see potential. But if there is, I still think we needed that veteran pass rusher we didn't bring in. So
I don't know. Josh Morrow was not horrible last year.
I don't know.
He was really good in the run game.
I don't know if he's enough to make a difference.
I don't think that's not what they're going for. They're going for a healthy deep rotation. They're they're going to try to develop these young guys while bringing in veterans who are good in specific packages in order to give those guys some breathing time. Cleveland Farrell, when he's 100% and he's healthy and he's good, he's never going to come off the field. But this year, he will.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, obviously this team aimed for depth this offseason. And I think, you know, Arden Key was our number one pass rusher last year. We had no depth. You know, like, that's like, you're desperate at that point.
We had no starters.
No, yeah, no starters. But this year we added a little bit, you know, a couple more able bodies to the roster.
It's going to be interesting. The growth of that unit is going. That's why for me going into camp, the growth of that unit, the way they just operate, and that's what I'm interested in watching. I'm not trying to say that they're going to be great off the get go, but I think that we're going to see the biggest improvements as the season goes on from that group. I think that we're going to see them come from young, athletic guys, hopefully into long-term solutions.
To seasoned sort of, yeah.
We're almost coming up on an hour.
So we should probably shut the fuck up, right?
Yeah, we should probably shut up, and we should also maybe just lightly touch on, like, our plans going forward.
We're going to do more videos. We want to do more film breakdowns. Maybe say every 2 weeks.
Yeah. If we can get it down and get good at it, and if you guys like it, we wouldn't mind doing a little bit more videos. Just talking about interesting stuff and interesting topics within the Raider community throughout the season. You know, like last year, I felt like a video of, you know, someone put out there Reggie Nelson sucking would have given me a little bit of sanity. Make sure I'm not the only one seeing what was going on. You know what I mean?
Reggie's a god. All right,
he was the least problems
of that team last year.
And then we're gonna do the weekly podcast, and we're gonna start that with Hard Knocks next week.
We're gonna talk for you guys for like an hour, drink 3-4 beers along the way.
Get a little naked.
Yeah, it's almost we're building towards the end of the episode to like, oh my, like, where, what's a weird place these guys are gonna go by the time,
maybe we're also playing around with the idea. We don't have, you know, the money or the tools to do it yet, but we may even just do it as like a live audio thing until we get to that point.
We're gonna find a way. We're gonna get a camera just for you. We're gonna be able to see our like faces that are like
maybe
solid sixes. Maybe. I'd say we're both probably solid sixes.
I'm definitely a seven. Definitely.
On like a good day. Like on
every day is a good day.
Like,
every day is a good day like when you're a seven.
It's like a four.
But, talking like a six. But I'm not, you know, I don't, spoken like a six. But,
listen, I'm comfortable with
we also want to do maybe some game day streams.
Yeah. Well,
you know, maybe a little bit sloppier than weekly podcasts. Not that our weekly podcasts are that.
We'll do Q&As.
That clean.
Well, anyway. No, it's never clean. It's always dirty. But we'll do like Q&As from you guys. I want to see if you guys are interested in hearing or, you know, how deep you want to get in our personalities.
Yeah. If you want to ask us like what motivates us, what gets us out of bed every day.
Like promises, you know, of my father. Yeah. We could get into all of that.
Like
yeah.
What I think about on my commute.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. All those horrible things.
But that's about it. We'll wrap this one up.
Yeah. So I'm Mike.
I'm not saying my name.
Still such a mystery. Wow.
Have a good night.
You too.